Chapter 27. Chris was a born rebel, relentlessly curious, and a lifelong truth seeker. Chris never settled for any answer that wasn't factual or didn't ring true. He stored the questions that hadn't been answered to his satisfaction, continuously returning to them as he gathered more and more bits of the probable complete answer. And so it was that one more morning after his daily meditation, he felt as if he'd received the answer to not only a question he had about God but also a question several others had also raised to him, and that was, if God is perfect, why is so much bad stuff going on? Earthquakes, typhoons, floods, famine, volcanoes, and mass murders, just to name a few. Why doesn't God stop it? Chris decided to write in his journal the answer that he believed had just come from God. Chris decided the title should be, God, What is Going On? And Chris decided he would journal God's answer. In the beginning, there was only God, until God created three things, infinity, dark matter, and dark energy, and let those go to become what they could and would become. God instilled God's essence into infinity, dark matter, and dark space so that the vibration of God would abide in all things. Creations began, stars formed and, much later, exploded, releasing precious minerals and elements that future creations would need. Over billions of years, dark matter kept supplying and enriching the universe with the raw materials for whatever needed to form. Dark matter also created the gravity necessary to keep the stars, planets, and vast clouds of gas and dust that make up the galaxies from flying apart in all directions. After billions of years, suns, star clusters, and multicolored gaseous arrays had been created, and as they were drawn together by gravity, galaxies were formed. Countless meteorites, asteroids, and debris also developed throughout the universe. Life forms began to emerge with the enrichment of the universe from the minerals and elements of exploding stars and the delivery of those minerals and components across the universe and into galaxies and their planets and moons, not only from dark matter but also from the millions of meteorites and asteroids crashing into them. A billion years is 365 billion days. Scientists concur that the universe is 13.8 billion years old, or 5 trillion 37 days old. A lot can happen in that time, and indeed, a lot has happened. As Chris was writing in his journal, he would often stop and laugh at himself. He laughed at the answer he was trying to understand and the feelings he was trying to decipher enough so he could write them down coherently. Chris could not and was not laughing at the answer he had received. Trying to put the answer he received into words required first presenting the foundation of how the question came into being and then how the answer formed over several decades of Chris's life. Chris went back to writing the answer he had received. God created the beginning for everything we now know billions of years before humans existed. God created everything necessary for creation. God does not deal with the negativity that might be a byproduct or a direct result of those creations. God only deals with the perfection of the initial creation. God created the components necessary for creation and then left the formula to reproduce anything and everything it could and then to keep doing that forever. Man evolved very well and soon became the dominant life form on Earth. Social disorder broke out once all the combined bits and pieces evolved into humans. There were no laws or consequences to govern or enforce bad choices. Evil people quickly learned that hostility and predatory actions, with a few exceptions, brought them few consequences, and they knew they could live a very nice life by choosing and living the opposite of good. The seemingly absurd idea that both good and evil could be true simultaneously without contradicting each other has been questioned for as long as humans have asked questions. Those who knew the vibration of God lived a good life by following the vibration that God had left behind, and those that forsook or renounced the vibration of God also lived what they believed was a good life. God's answer to Chris was that God creates and then goes on to the next creation. God doesn't police the decisions or choices the creations make. God doesn't know about man's inhumanity to man because God left its vibration not only in the initial creation but also in everything created after that so that the knowledge of the vibration of God could be their guide. God's vibration is infinite. God left a simple choice in everything, and fear of enforcement was not part of the choices that everything makes. Chris stopped writing for a moment to collect his thoughts, and then he continued, "God's vibration sometimes carried me through my early life, and I say that because I was an out-of-control adolescent. A judge called me an incorrigible delinquent, yet somehow I always seemed to avoid the worst consequences that could have befallen me. I didn't question or wonder why or what at the time because I was still experiencing the singularity of youth. My life at that time consisted of thinking I was it because I was doing whatever the rebellious vibration inside me wanted to do, without regard for anyone else. I had yet to turn the corner so I could use my experience because I was still gathering the experiences that would eventually lead me to the knowledge I could use for good. And then, one day, the vibration of God intervened, and I was able to create positive changes within me, and I began to cause positive changes around me. Even my rebellious nature changed, and I started to be what I considered a positive force. The vibration God left behind is all-powerful. That I failed, and still fail, by occasionally choosing wrong rather than right is the work that lies ahead for me. I left religion because of the incessant personification of God, only I see now that I was unconsciously still doing that too. I expected this personified God to intervene and help me by changing the negative things around me, but now I have learned that God only created everything necessary for creation as we know it. God created the ingredients and left behind the vibration of God for us to learn to follow. The choice of how we live is totally up to us." Chris sat back in his chair, believing he finally had his answer. He was optimistic that, instead of God's vibration being what Chris followed, with this new understanding, Chris could walk with God's vibration as part of his daily life, and together they would walk as one. Chris remembered that people are not equal at birth or supplied with the same tools to begin their lives. Intellects are different, emotions differ, skin color is different, and the customs and learned behaviors all vary. Chris knew his path was not to save humanity but to live the best life he could and, by being with the vibration of God, to constantly do the next right thing to the best of his ability. Chris began to feel anxious about how difficult aligning himself with a vibration was going to be, especially compared to following the personification of God, which had resulted in his and others' anticipatory obedience. Chris laughed because he knew anticipatory obedience was easier since he only had to follow what he heard and read. As Chris sat deep in thought, he heard the front doorknob turn, and there was Olivia, arriving early. Chris didn't mind in the least. And in fact, he was pleased to see her. Olivia asked him to stay seated, and then she was standing next to him, kissing the top of his head, ear, forehead, and lips. The tenderness with which they greeted each other was calming and sensual. Chris admired how fresh and excited Olivia often looked, and he pulled her close to kiss her lips again. Chris pushed his journal away, prompting Olivia to ask, "Whatcha writing?" Chris answered, "Remember I said I'd been thinking about the question of if God is perfect, then why do bad things happen? You know, famine, floods, volcanoes erupting, killing thousands, and of course the biggie, man's inhumanity to man? So I wrote a new journal entry titled God What Is Going On?" Olivia asked if she could read what he'd written, and Chris readily agreed. He asked if she would like a coffee, but Olivia said she'd already had plenty. Chris rose from the chair, saying he would sit in the backyard while she read. Kissing each other again, Chris departed. As Chris sat outside feeling the warm afternoon sun on his face, he suddenly felt deeply alone. And feeling so alone left him feeling separate, which was odd for him because usually, when Chris felt alone, he was happy and quite content. As Chris did his internal audit, he quickly realized that he now believed he was without God and that, somehow, just the vibration of God wasn't enough. All these years, he had fought the personification of God, and now he realized he had gained great comfort in believing there was something there. To learn now that there was only God's vibration cast him into a loneliness he wasn't expecting. His stream of thought was broken by Olivia coming outside. She sat beside him and grabbed his hand, saying his journal entry for today was excellent. Chris, knowing that Olivia could probably recite what she had just read verbatim, such was her retention of whatever she read, tried to explain the loneliness he was feeling to Olivia and that having only God's vibration instead of God was the difference between having her here in person rather than him simply smelling her perfume after she had gone. Only Chris knew Olivia would be coming back. The two kept talking, which soothed them both. Olivia smiled and told Chris, "God is like my favorite swimming hole or hiking place. I get to go there, and they're my happy places, but I can't take either home. Yet I have the memories, and I can always go back." The conversation returned to Chris repeating what he wrote about God's vibration. Olivia stopped him and asked, "What if God's vibration is, in reality, God's energy or itself? And because God is not a person, nor the personification of anything we can think of, perhaps God's everything is infinite too." They both went quiet as they absorbed her words, which encapsulated everything they already knew, but in their search for the truth, they had wiped the chalkboard clean and started from scratch. Olivia asked, "So, how do we begin to understand God?" Chris replied, "By talking more and more." And Olivia, "Thank you for rescuing me from the loneliness I had just fallen into." Chris reached across her shoulder and pulled her closer to him. And their conversation continued. Chris spoke first and asked, "Did the Bible and the Quran, and all the other writings about God, come into being so that it was easier for people to grasp the concept of choice and that humans would then somehow apply consequences to their actions?" Olivia responded, "You wrote that thought today, and it seems logical to me. If a group of men, mostly men, wanted to bring many people together to believe in and worship one God, they needed a familiar story that they could share with everyone. The story would be set out in words and a setting everyone could understand. The family is the most logical setting, with the father as the head, and now God is the father of the largest family ever." There was a welcome pause in their conversation, the afternoon was getting late, and Olivia did her pretend yawning act. Chris stood as did Olivia, and together they went inside for what had become known as afternoon delight. The end. Written by Peter Skeels. Copyright May 8, 2023.